New Zealand-based home renovation company, 6,593% ROAS. Sydney-based solar company, 2,700% ROAS. Hunter region-based bathroom renovation company, 5,616% ROAS. Melbourne-based building company, 13,182% return on ad spend. Adelaide-based solar company, 2,881% return on ad spend. Guys, the list goes on and on. If you're a trade-based business and you work with projects like roofing, solar, bathroom renovations, kitchen renovations, anything like that, head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. Book in a conversation. It is game changing.
There are very few, if any, tradies or contractors out there that do not actively go and quote or send proposals to either existing or potential clients. It's the small things that make a big difference with quoting and sending proposals. And it's very often those small things that can end up costing you a lot of money. With that in mind, in this series, I'm joined by my co-host, Eve John from Fully Booked Tradies. And we're conducting a series called Quoting Mistakes That Are Costing You Thousands. This is part one called What Not Following Up Is Costing You.
Giving tradies and contractors around the globe the tools to run a modern business. You're listening to Toolbox Talks from the Site Shed. Now here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Toolbox Talks. You are joining us today in part one of the Quoting Mistakes That Are Costing You Thousands series that I'm conducting with my co-host, Eve John from Fully Booked Tradies. Eve, welcome to the microphone.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And you're all the way down in beautiful Melbourne?
Yes, and we've got some spring has sprung down here, so it's looking beautiful today.
Yeah, no kidding. It's beautiful in Sydney too. I was surfing yesterday in board shorts. I couldn't believe it. The water was like 20 degrees. The sun, it was like 25 degrees out of the water. It's ridiculous.
Great.
Harsh winter.
Definitely.
Eve, so we're talking about quoting mistakes that are costing us thousands in this series. Obviously, you've got a lot of experience with this. And do you just want to give us a bit of a rundown as to, I suppose, your background and a bit about your business and what you guys do?
Sure. Well, without revealing my age, I've actually been working with tradies for nearly 18 years.
Yeah.
I started in adult education, and I was doing back when they used to teach at trade school how to do quotes, on the carbon copy paper.
Yeah.
So that's how I started, and married a tradie because, you know, you have to.
Yeah, of course.
And that's just what all the cool chicks do. Uh-huh. And we were going along really well until in 2008, my husband had a fall at the Southern 80, the ski race up at Echuca, and he impound fractured two vertebrae in his spine.
Wow.
So he's a plumber, 23-year-old plumber going from, you know, having a great time, loving life, you know, recently married, fabulous wife, and to being strapped to a hospital bed at the Royal Melbourne Hospital for 5 months.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, and the biggest thing that, and this sort of ties in with some of the stuff I've seen you doing about Tradie Health Month, but the biggest thing that that men struggle with in hospital, it's not actually their injury or their illness. It's actually depression.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So part of the program that they had was, creativity and craft sort of things. But, you know, when you're a 23-year-old plumber and you can't really move that much, you're not really into the craft.
Right.
So part of the program that he did was designing, coming up with designs and ideas of things that, you know, possibly might make his job easier when he gets back to work. Now, being that he's a plumber and working in commercial work where, architects design these stunning bathrooms, but it's very hard to waterproof them because everything's so tight, he came up with a bendable and extendable silicone nozzle. It's basically like got the function of a spine. So if you imagine when you go to the chiropractors or the physio, they've got those spines that are sitting in the on display, and you can sort of see where your spine and your pelvis is. Now, because he broke his back, they would wave one of those at him every day talking about what he's done. And he actually just said in passing to one of the staff members, if I could create a bendable and extendable silicone nozzle for, you know, my plumber mates and I to use, that would, you know, save us a lot of time.
Yeah, right.
And we sort of parked it and didn't really think anything about it until they kind of followed up with his rehab and they said, what's happening with your design? And he's like, Oh, gosh. Well, I've kind of said that I'm going to design something, so I'm going to have to. So we actually spent about 2 years working on the design, and many eyebrows were lost in the process of, you know, trying to create and bend the silicone nozzles, which apparently is quite common on site. They don't talk about it in WorkSafe, but apparently it's something that should everyone keep an eye out for that. But we
Loss of eyebrows? What are you talking about here? Like through flames or what?
Yeah, through. So getting the guys used to use them on site, they would actually get their lighter and melt them so that they would hold shape. So we took a design. He took a design in 2011 through the patent system, started working with the manufacturer. It was actually the time that our second child was born. So we sort of had to slow down a little bit. But fast forward in 2013, the bent over silicone nozzle was launched into a lot of trade stores around Australia. We had some really good feedback. But the funniest thing was that, you know, people were a bit worried about saying bent over. Now, I started working with, you know, copywriters, so people that write, you know, the information that goes on websites and marketing material and marketing coaches and PR, and they all thought it was a great idea because it kind of describes what the nozzle does because it sort of bends.
I can see where this is going. Carry on.
Yeah. anyway. When we went into the big stores without naming names, they said, no, we can't have it because of the name of it. It has a sexual connotation. And we kind of went, yeah, whatever, until we actually got a call from one of the largest adult expos here in Australia. I don't know if you guys have it in Sydney. It's called Sexpo.
We have it.
Yeah, we got a call from Sexpo and we had to explain to them that we're not that kind of silicone product. So we kind of started re-looking at ourselves and re-looking at the names. And I was obviously doing all the marketing with two little kids, and I'm trained in what's called direct response copywriting, which is basically getting people to take action on you know, what you're doing, what you're selling, what you're promoting, rather than brand advertising, which is, you know, just what the big companies do. Because we didn't have a lot of money, so we needed people to buy our product, which basically competes against a product that you get for free.
Okay.
So that was a big challenge. So we were kicking along really well. We are now in 21 countries around the world under the name Reach, R-E-E-E-C-H, Reach Silicone Nozzle. And there's a couple of other little products that go with it. But would you believe in 2014, I managed to halt distribution here in Australia all on my own.
Hold on.
My very little lonesome, by signing a distribution contract that I didn't have my lawyer look at for the seventh time.
Oh.
So what basically happened was we lost the income from our product, and we also had to find the money to pay the lawyers to get us out of this contract.
Okay.
So while I'd been doing promotions and writing to all of the, particularly sort of the franchise hardware stores and the smaller franchise stores, they'd been saying to me, can you write my marketing stuff? Can you write my marketing stuff? And I'm like, no, I'm busy. I've got my product. I'm a mum. And so I rang them up and said, hey, guess what? I've got time now. So I started working with the trade stores, and they were getting really, really good results. And then, of course, you know, in the trade industry, it is all about, you know, finding the right type of people and working a lot on referrals and, you know, people referring people that they know do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I then started getting a lot of tradies that were coming to me saying, hey, can you help me because I'm doing 10 quotes a week and I'm only winning one, and it's not because I'm not winning because it's not always because I'm not the cheapest, because, you know, everyone will say that price is the most important, but statistically it's not even in most people's top 10.
Yeah.
So I started helping them with that, and they were just getting phenomenal results. And for me, really, you know, most of our, being that my husband's a tradie, I'm a tradie wife, a lot of our friends are actually tradies, and I started to talk to people, and I found that, you know, and I say men because predominantly most of my clients are men. A lot of them, you know, their wives or partners are working in the business as well. But a lot of my male friends were saying, oh, yeah, you know, if I could get this sorted, I could go to, you know, Johnny's Football, or I can't do Auskick anymore because, you know, I've got to do this, or no, I can't go to the swimming because I've got, you know, Sunday morning's the day that I do my quotes because I've got to get out 20 so that I can win 3. And I just thought, there's got to be an easier way.
Yep.
So I started doing all of the marketing things that were done across other industries and basically what the big guys are doing. And it just really, really took off. And this year, my fully booked tradies quote conversion system, which is a bit of a mouthful, actually took out fourth place in an innovation award.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of exciting. It's fun. I love it when I get text messages from my friends and from my clients saying, guess what? I'm at footy this weekend. And I'm lying in bed on a Sunday morning thinking I couldn't think of anything worse. But all power to them if that's what they want to spend their time doing.
So in this series, we're going to be talking about, we've broken it down into three specific episodes, which is kind of typical of our format at the SciShed. However, we do that just to make it more a little bit more digestible for the listeners out there and things they can apply. So we've broken it down into the first episode, which is going to be what not following up is costing you. Mm-hmm. The second one is going to be why women control buying. And the third one is more trust equals more sales. Mm-hmm. Now, are these all basically, I suppose, things that you've come to learn over your experience with working in this niche?
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's not something that is specific to, you know, to tradies or the construction industry. It's across everything. So, but I find that particularly with tradies, when it comes to, you know, doing their quotes, they're really good. They're really detailed. They get it all done. And then they're just missing the tail end because they don't want to, you know, be seen to be a sleazy car salesman ringing up somebody every 5 minutes. You know, they're busy. They're really busy. And this is sort of the stuff that they actually don't teach at trade school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think that's pretty relevant across the board with most of the stuff that we talk about on the SciShed. Like the reality is they teach you a lot of practical things to do with the trade, but I mean, the reality of what you need to learn in running a business leaves a little bit more to be desired for. So that's where we come on board.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. Well, look, let's why don't we just dive straight into episode one? We're going to be talking about what not following up is costing you. Now, this is, you know what, to be honest, I'm probably guilty of this myself. So I know we had a question come in not long ago, and it was based around that. You know, I've got all these quotes out there. I feel like I'm constantly quoting. However, I'm not getting the conversions I want. And one of the first questions I asked was, well, what was your follow-up process? So, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, getting people to come to you asking for a quote is one thing, and it's arguably the hardest part of the deal. I suppose that following that up then really comes into play in the sense of, well, you know, it's not so much about how many leads you get coming in, it's how many of those leads you are converting.
Oh, I agree 100%. And you're right. Getting people to even pick up the phone to call you or get in touch to reach out to actually get you to the quoting stage, that is, you know, that's one of the hurdles.
Yeah.
But if you kind of think about it, you know, let's say, you know, your hourly rate, if you're charging a customer, you know, in your mind, you think I'm worth, you know, $80 an hour. Now, most of the tradies that I come across, they're not just in there, you know, getting it done and they're out the door. They're pleasant. They're happy. Hi, how was your day? So they're probably spending about half an hour actually going and doing the quote, plus all the time in travel, plus all the time sitting down at the computer or, you know, getting all the ducks in a row in regards to the quote. So there's lots of time there, I think, as well. And it's time that you could be doing with other things. But follow-up itself. Now, I don't know if you've seen these statistics, but there's statistics that indicate that 50% of your competitors have actually given up on the sale after one contact. So they'll go and see you, quote the job, send out a quote, and that's it.
Yep.
You know, 65% of them will give up after the second contact. So they might send out the quote and maybe do one follow-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly 90% of them have given up after the fourth contact.
Yep.
And I think it often comes down to time as a big issue for my clients as to what they can do in regards to follow-up, but also lack of having different ideas. So you don't want to be constantly calling them, have you made a decision? 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 Because that's not going to be what gets them over the line.
Okay.
So with my clients, we have lots of different ways of following up. We use obviously calls, and we use text messages. We use emails, and my absolute favorite and most underrated is the letterbox.
Yeah, right.
Because if you think about it, if you're going out to quote a job, you actually, unless it's a, you know, an investment property or a commercial thing, or you're not going out there and you don't have the client's home address, you've actually got their address. And the letterbox is one of the most, nowadays, it's one of the most uncluttered places that people, you know, have.
Mm.
And everybody still has a letterbox.
Yep.
And I've got, I've worked with other industries before. They would kill to get their clients, potential clients' postal address.
Yep.
So people say, oh, but, you know, a letter's, you know, post is expensive. It's a dollar. And I think, well, you've already, you know, spent your time. You'd spend a dollar to get a $500 client every day of the week.
So what are we talking about here? I mean, obviously you could mail out a proposal, but I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of system in place where you're making it a little bit more personable, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. So just, can I give you an example of what I put together for my clients?
Please.
Oh, great. Okay. So the first thing that my clients do is we send out a text message. So I've been out to see the client. I've got my quote. I'm ready to either post it or email it. But this is the specific text message that I get my clients to use, and it works gangbusters, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hey, Matt, great to chat with you this week. Just wanted to let you know that I've dropped off or emailed through your quote today. If it's okay with you, I'll give you a call in 3 days. In the meantime, you can get in touch if you have any questions. I look forward to chatting with you. Enjoy your day, Eve.
Cool.
Okay. So there's three kind of key things that we've got in that text message. The first thing is you've made another contact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second thing is that they're actually going to look out for the quote, because if you're sending it via email, sometimes it can end up in the lost email archives.
Mm-hmm.
Could end up in their spam folder, or perhaps they don't check their emails very often.
Yep. Okay.
Or if you're posting it out, they'll actually go and check the letterbox. So that's one of the reasons. The third kind of reason is that your number's already on the phone because you've sent them a message.
Yeah.
So they've already got your contact details in their phone in some capacity.
Yeah.
Now, the key thing that I always emphasize with my clients as well is if it's okay with you, I'll give you a call in 3 days. So then they're expecting you to call in 3 days.
Yeah.
So you're actually building up that, oh yeah, he said he was going to call.
Why 3 days?
We just find, particularly if you've got an email through, the quote, that it gives them a little bit of time to go through, but not too far ahead that they think, oh, well, I'll look at it later because he's going to call me next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that 3 days seems to be the sweet spot for a lot of clients. Next day's a little bit too, whoa, I haven't even read it yet. But 3 days gives them enough time to have looked through the quote, but also, you know, for it to be front of mind, because the biggest issue that you have with your potential customers is they get you to quote the job and then they forget that they've actually got to get the job done.
Yeah.
So it just makes it that little bit easier, but it's also easier for you to pop in your diary or, you know, your notification system, your apps or your tracking,
mm-hmm,
to follow it up in 3 days. It's just a tight little area of time.
Cool.
So that's probably the biggest one, and that's the simplest one to do is text messages.
And is that the only time you'd text them?
No, not specifically. Like a lot of my clients, depending on the type of business that they've got, obviously if you're a builder, people aren't going to make a decision in a week.
Right.
So you can often do texting. People prefer text messages because I think that there's stats out there that show that most of them are opened within the first 2 minutes of being received. So people are actually going to see it.
Yeah, okay.
So text messages are great, but you've got to use them in combination. I find most of my clients are, you know, they're pretty chatty, they're pretty easygoing, but a text message is it's more of a non-threatening way. So if you're a bit like, oh, I don't really want to, you don't want to call too often, you're using the same type of message just in a different aspect. So quite often we go text message, phone call, and then we might do an email, and then we'll post something, and then we just rinse and repeat.
Okay.
So four different ways through there.
Now, another question, which is a slight segue, but not really. Is this a manual text message from your telephone, or is it through like a text messaging program?
It really depends. For some of my clients that have, you know, if they're smaller sort of organizations, you can do both.
Yeah.
There's some great automated systems out there that you can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even some of the, you know, the email marketing platforms these days offer
definitely.
Mean, ActiveCampaign, yep. You can send text message campaigns through.
Yeah, definitely. So. Definitely. Yeah, cool. But for some people, it's a little bit overwhelming. Some people don't like having, you know, the technical aspect, but I kind of think it's one of those things. I have a system with a lot of my clients where they just spend 22 minutes a day marketing their business, and that's part of it. And they just copy it and paste it, copy it and paste it, copy and paste it, and obviously change the name.
Yeah, okay.
As well. But no, that's actually, yeah, I've got some that do use it in an automated system and then some that do it manually. As well. So
I suppose it kind of depends on the volume as well, doesn't it?
Correct. If you know, if you're working on and you're doing, you know, 25, if you've got, you know, three vans on the road and you're going out and you quote all the jobs and you're doing 40 jobs,
yep.
Then you probably want to look at something that's automated. But if you're going out and maybe doing six a week,
yeah.
Then just knowing that once you've sent it through and you sort of send it at the time that you're actually sending the quote off.
Yeah.
As well. So if you're emailing through a quote, they get the text message, they're probably going to go and check their emails.
Yeah, okay. So we've got the text message, then what goes, well, then what happens?
Text message, after the text message is generally a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, hi, how you going? Just wanted to make sure that you'd received it. Did you have any specific questions?
This is 3 days later, right?
3 days later, yep. Any specific questions, anything that you want me to go through? I always find that asking for the job, so something on the lines of, are you ready to move forward with the project?
Yep.
As well, because I find that's something that people don't get, they get a little bit stuck with. They don't really want to ask for the sale.
Yeah.
And, you know, and saying things like, you know, is there any questions that you want answered before you move forward? Just offering to have any questions, any explanations, so that people can get a really good understanding of what you're actually doing. And with following up, you actually want to be helpful. And that's why this works really well in the trade industry, is because most tradies that you come across are really helpful. We're always seeing headlines, you know, hero tradie dives into river to save car, hero tradie runs into bird. These are actually real headlines. Hero tradie runs into burning building to save child in wheelchair. You know, these are actually real things. And whenever there's an accident or whenever there's something needed, it's trade. They have this thing of, I don't know what it is. I think it's a type, helpful. And, you know, you guys are the experts in your industry. Even me, I write, you know, content for, you know, commercial kitchens the other day. And just what my client was telling me blew my mind with, you know, and the stuff that you guys know in your mind that you think nobody's interested in that. It's actually fascinating.
Mm.
So, you know, being able to answer questions is really, really important. And that will bring me to something else that we're going to talk about a little bit later and why questions are great. But then we move into emails as well. So there's different types of things that you can email. Again, we don't want to do that buy my stuff every single message. It should be about being helpful. Again, emails can be automated as well. And I certainly suggest to my clients that they get this all automated. And I'm sure you would have, you know, some great systems and back-end stuff to get them all sorted. But
wonderful back-end.
Emails can consist of things like emailing through frequently asked questions, the benefits of choosing, you know, the reasons why customers should choose you.
Yep.
One really big thing that a lot of trades overlook is guarantees, what the guarantees are in their business. And just a little bit of a tip, particularly if you are a plumber, an electrician, or in the building industry, you are required by law in your licensing to offer a guarantee. And everybody is too scared to talk about it.
Okay.
So that's really, really powerful. When I'm working with my clients, the first thing that I ask them is, what's your product guarantee? Or what's your service guarantee? And they'll go, oh, well, I don't have one.
Yeah,
and I'm
okay.
Like, well, I can tell you under, you know, depending on which state that you're in, that you are legally required under your licensing to guarantee for this amount of years.
So just jumping back one section a little bit here. So you've got the text message, 3 days, phone call. Then when are we starting to send this sequence?
I think 3 days. I make it on a 3-day Okay. Setting it up over every 3 days.
Okay.
And again, it really depends, but that can kind of depend on the industry. So if it's quoting for a job, say something that's a quicker sort of job to do, say perhaps a switchboard installation and you're doing some rewiring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that's going to take you a couple of days to a week to do that, then you can do it over 3 days. If it's taps, washers, basically any sort of smaller thing, depends on the scale of the job compared to how quickly people are going to make a decision.
Okay.
If I'm going to be, you know, having my house totally gutted and rebuilt, it's probably going to take me a while to do that. But if I've got a dishwasher that's overflowing or my toilets are blocked, I want to make a decision pretty quickly.
Right.
And my guys know, and your listeners, you guys all know how quickly your clients tend to make decisions on certain types of services.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's one of the advantages of emergency service organisations. That's why it's so important to have a first good impression with their website. You know, I mean, that when people are coming looking for a blocked toilet, they need a solution immediately.
Correct.
Mm.
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that we use in follow-ups is stuff that already exists on their website.
Yeah.
So most of your clients, when you're building out their websites, you know, having frequently asked question pages is something that you incorporate, and having, you know, the reasons why they should choose that particular company is something that they already have. So we just restructure it and put it out there as well,
yep.
So that the client just gets a little bit of a reminder, because if you're going up against people that aren't following up, you're going up against people that don't talk about their guarantee, you're going up against people that aren't answering any frequently asked questions, or they're not actually doing any sort of follow-up, often price becomes totally irrelevant.
Yep.
And I think we're all kind of stuck with, oh, well, I didn't win because I'm the cheapest. And you know what? There's going to be price shoppers, but you know what? In my experience, people that price shop are the ones that are really, really painful
100%.
To deal with anyway.
They're the ones you want to avoid normally.
Correct. Correct. So it just really makes a difference as to what you're doing. So we're going with, you know, the text message, then the call, then the email. I like to, I'm totally in love with what's called lumpy mail.
Yeah.
And I'll just give you a bit of an example of what it is. It's sending out something in the post, and when people get it, it's like, oh, there's something in there. When was the last time you got something in the mail that wasn't a bill?
I did receive a postcard actually from somebody the other week. And they listened to the podcast, and they had a pretty cool business that they wanted to maybe talk about on the podcast. Well, not a business, but an idea, I suppose.
Sure.
But then I never heard back from them.
Ah, well, hopefully they're listening and they'll get in touch.
But it's a bit of a social test for me. I was like, oh, let's see what happens here.
Sure. But what most people don't have is something that they get in the mail often, aside from a bill or some dodgy thing from your local politician. But to give you an example, most people will actually sort their mail over three piles. So pile A is stuff that looks like it could be personal.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be look like it's an invitation or it's handwritten with an actual live stamp on it. Then the second pile will be things that, you know, are probably going to cost you money, like a bill or a statement. Then your third pile might often be your junk mail. And most of us sort actually over our recycling bin. So using mail as part of your follow-up is fantastic, but there's a couple of things. And again, you don't have to go absolutely crazy like some of my clients do, and we send toy soldiers, we send balloons, magnifying glasses, we go crazy. My children will not go into a $2 shop with me because mummy will be buying things and it's like, no, mummy needs this for work. And they're like, we're not convinced. If you're going to be sending things as a follow-up to your potential customers, please make sure you always use just a plain white envelope and you handwrite it. And it doesn't matter if your writing's messy. Don't worry about that. Because if people see that it's got a label on it or it's got like a window, you know, the window envelopes, they're probably going to go, ugh, it's, you know, it's just not personal enough. So the first step in, you know, in following up is actually getting people to open your email or open your letter.
Yep.
So trying to make it a little bit more personal by handwriting out an address and putting a stamp on it is a great way to go. A lot of my clients, we use postcards. as well. Now, this was something I had a postcard when we were doing our nozzle business when we started out, and I was trying to get in front of a couple of the larger sort of plumbing businesses to buy our product. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll read you what was said on the front of my postcard. Yep. This is to plumbers. When it comes to protecting the public's health, doctors can't hold a candle or a wrench to plumbers. Sanitation, clean water and sewage disposal has been voted the greatest medical milestone since 1840 by the British Medical Journal, beating out antibiotics, anesthesia, vaccines and the discovery of DNA structure. So thank you for making a difference to our health. Now, if you're a plumber, you're a bit like, I'm actually more important than a doctor.
Yeah.
So something like that is going to stand out and people are going to go, oh, and we've got people that kept them. We had people that rang up and asked for more of them and people that said, hey, would email me and say, can you send that to, you know, Peter at this plumbing company? Because he will love that.
Yeah.
So rather than me sending out buy my stuff, it's just having something that's a little bit more helpful. You could do a tip sheet, you know, what to do if they've called you about, you know, having an electrical issue that they're concerned about, you know, a tip sheet on planning an emergency evacuation for your family, because, you know, if they've got a problem with their switchboard and it's quite serious and they're not getting it fixed, well, it's possible that it could cause a fire. So, being helpful, thinking about the stuff that most tradies have in their brain, it's just getting it out of their brain and getting it onto paper is what I'm exceptionally good at. And most guys underestimate what they know and they undervalue it.
Yeah.
As well. You know, they're just some of the stuff I hear people talking about, it just blows my mind how people retain this information. So, and we are interested. You might think that people aren't particularly interested in knowing the ins and outs, but I mean, how many videos are there on YouTube? You know, everyone wants to know all different things.
It's kind of similar to something that, you know, that we've been teaching in the past, which is, it's not directly, I suppose, exactly the same as what you're talking about there, but it's pretty common when people they have all this stuff in their head, and then we sort of look at it as our job to try and take the, you know, that intellectual knowledge and turn it into intellectual property that they can use.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's kind of and I think a lot of people are really scared about writing it out. In my experience, a lot of my clients will come to me and go, oh, I can't do that, I left school at, you know, 16.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, yeah, well, I know people that you know, did an extra 10 years of school and they're not earning the money or don't have the lifestyle that you have. So who's smarter?
Yeah, exactly right.
You know,
don't ever confuse intellectual intelligence with intelligence.
Oh, and I 100% I agree with that. And I say to people, I actually have a master's of education that I have never ever used because I got it 2 weeks before I gave birth to my baby, my first son. Right. So I'm like, you know what? I've got this and I've never ever used it. I mean, obviously I've used it, the learning aspect from it, but I've never actually got the piece of paper to use. You know, I've never actually had someone say, oh, well, what's your university qualification? Oh, here we are. So, yeah, it is about, you know, knowing what you know. And I think with tradies, it's I would much rather have someone who's got real world experience and understands, you know, the problems that they've had rather than someone who, you know, can give me the theoretical aspect of it.
Mate, I don't know about you, but I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm not a tradie, or I am still a tradie, I suppose, but, you know, even now with, you know, like a digital marketing agency, I would much rather hire someone on experience. I mean, I don't care if you've got a marketing degree. Show me what you can do. Show me what you've done.
Oh, yeah, 100%, 100%. And I'll tell your listeners something, but they've got to promise not to repeat it. I won't work with architects.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that, architects. We've got a lot of listeners that are architects, actually. Yeah, no, but I know what you mean. It's even when I, you know, when I was a tradie, it's that whole thing of getting, you know, an engineer first year out of school out on the job site trying to tell you how to do things that they have no practical input into because they've never done it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, look, let's talk a little bit, I suppose, about what are the potential costs of not following up? Do you have any statistics, I suppose, on things like that? You know, what it can be what it can be costing you not doing it, what it could be earning you if you do it better, like from a conversion point of view?
Well, I can give you an example of a client of mine, and yep. His wife was doing all of the, they were working in a partnership, an electrical company in the southeast suburbs of Melbourne. And his wife was doing all of the bookkeeping. So he was going out and quoting the jobs, and he had a couple of vans on the road. And he would quote, and he would just kind of, you know, hope for the best. And I said to his wife, you know, you're doing the bookkeeping. How often are you? And she had young ones. How much time are you spending doing it? And she said, oh, it's 6 hours. And I've got a little bit of knowledge with bookkeeping, just enough to keep me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, can you show me what you're kind of doing? And we ended up getting her involved with some automated things, and we hired a bookkeeper who specializes in tradies. So it was then costing her, instead of her doing it for 6 hours a week, it was costing her $110 to get the bookkeeper to do it. And she started doing the follow-up and the marketing over 6 hours mm-hmm. every week. She was using the same amount of time, and the business started making $17,000 a month more.
Wow.
Because when we came back for the second meeting, because I said, don't tell him how much extra money's come in or what's been happening, or let's look, you know, what we're doing. I want him to go, oh, because he was a bit like, no, I don't want anyone to do my bookkeeping. And I understand that, you know, you got to be in control of money. And I always think you got to be in control of your money and your marketing. You don't have to have a full under, you know, not standing there doing it all yourself, but you need to know how it all works so that you can know it's being done, looked after properly.
Mate, that is so funny you say that, because this is one of the biggest things for us that we get it every single day, people coming to us and, you know, they've been to see an SEO agency or a web design company and they've inevitably just been fleeced. I mean, they've just, because these guys know, they don't know what it is they're meant to be asking for. So we put so much emphasis in actually teaching them, you know, the basics of, you know, of SEO and how to create, you know, user-friendly content and SEO-friendly yep. content, all this kind of stuff. So not because we're trying to give them more tasks, but because we like to know that, you know, if they do want to outsource it, they know what it is they're outsourcing, and they're not going to get fleeced by somebody who knows they don't know anything.
And, you know, that's what I get really, really frustrated. I'm with you. Again, with SEO, I do write some web content. So, again, I know enough to keep myself out of trouble. But people come to me and they, you know, they've been charged a phenomenal amount for something, and I just sit there and go, oh.
Yeah.
And that's why.
And what are you delivering? I mean, we had a company come to us the other day, and they were trying to obviously wanting to do partnerships. I mean, we get this all day, every day. You probably do as well. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, all they were doing was offering reporting, SEO reporting. And I was like, well, what are you actually offering though? What's the service? I mean, you can get reporting through a standard dashboard. I mean, that's no big deal. Like, if you're not actually doing anything, then what are you reporting on?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that works really well with, there's a lot of businesses in, well, a kind of like, you know, you and I, like we're a little bit, I'm really careful about who I refer my clients to.
Oh, mate.
Because it's my reputation on the line, and people can't understand that. And exactly the same as if, you know, my electrician referred a carpet installer to me. I trust my electrician impeccably because, frankly, I would ring his wife. But I trust him to refer someone to me, you know, give me someone that's going to be 100% doing the right thing. And yeah, it is really frustrating when you see what people are doing. And, you know, quite often I probably, like yourself, get contacted by people going, oh, we want to do this. And I'm like, I'm not interested unless you can tell me your reason. And maybe it is a little bit fluffy. You know, I say to people, well, why have you chosen to work with tradies? Yeah. And unless there's an actual, you know, a really
an
good
interest.
Reason why.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, we turn away way more companies than we do we work with. I mean, it's
definitely
because there's all people out there. They're like, oh yeah, we work with tradies, and I go, what's your background? I go, oh, I'm a lawyer or I'm an accountant. I'm like, okay, but what's your interest in tradies? Oh, I don't really have one, but it looks like a good market. I'm like, okay, see ya.
Yeah, I'm a little bit like that too. And I quite often, because I do a lot of speaking, and when I was out at one of the Master Plumber events, I was on stage and I'm thinking, geez, I'm going to have to start wearing sunglasses up here because all the hive is. But I actually say to people, you know, clearly I'm not a tradesman because I'm actually quite short, so I wear absolutely killer stilettos to the point that so many of my clients have gone, I'm buying your boots. We're going now. You're getting your boots. But it's really funny that, you know, my background's not, I mean, I have worked with tradies, but being, you know, married to a tradie, but having the trade, I couldn't have done this if I hadn't have done, you know, had a trade product well. And we're still working on designs with all different ones. And, you know, we quite often get people coming to us and saying, hey, we've got this product idea. Can you help us? And we do. We've helped a lot of people, you know, get their product to patent and seeing a few things coming out on the shelves next year. But I just think you do. You have to. You can't. I'm a bit of a real dork. Like I'll be at my kids' karate.
Yeah,
it's really embarrassing. You know, I'll be at my kids' karate and I'm reading, you know, like the industry magazines or you know, sanitation, you know, reports and all sorts of stuff. And people sort of look and go, oh, what are you reading there? Oh, just a bit about sanitation, you know, or the new Victorian building regulations and all sorts of things as well, because I find it, I don't understand all of it, but I just find it fascinating. And being someone that's written two books myself, I've had two books and they've done very, very well, one for tradies as well. But, you know, for me, that was easy for me and for my husband and a lot of his clients, building a house is easy. But I look at that and I think, geez, I could never have done that.
Yeah.
You know, I was fascinated to watch my husband build our shed out the back and just the pride that, you know, the guys took in it, our concreter, doing the concreting work and the pride and the precision work. And that's what I really admire about trade the time and the expertise and the precision that goes into it.
It's an art.
Yeah.
All right, look, let's wrap this episode up now. I suppose in closing, I'd just like to leave that, I suppose, that framework behind with people. You know, in your follow-up process, don't be afraid to include, you know, a text message, phone call, email, and perhaps even lump email, depending on what you're quoting. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I suppose it's all you got to put into retrospect, don't you? Like, if you're quoting a job that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars, what's a $50 package being sent to someone? I mean, it's you can guarantee your competition aren't doing it. It's probably going to improve your conversions dramatically. So I think that's very valuable. Thank you. And is there anything else you wanted to leave before we close
off? I just
off?
Think not being afraid to follow up, because people need your help and it's your responsibility. You've taken the time out, but they've reached out for, you know, to get help, and you've got the responsibility of you know, getting there and getting it done for them, because unfortunately there are cowboys. And, you know, you'd be kicking yourself if a client said to you, or a potential customer said, oh, yeah, had you come out and quote this job, and then this guy came and, you know, did this and this, and, you know, it's caused me to lose all this money. I should have gone with you in the first place. You've spent the time, you've got your expertise, you've got your qualifications. You're actually, people are calling you, so they're opening the door for contact.
Yep.
It's just being useful, following up and giving them useful advice and information and tips and things that they can do and reasons why they should choose you.
Yep.
It gets you over the line, you know, every single time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you for listening to another episode of Toolbox Talks. If you're liking what you hear, then you can head across to the siteshed.com where you can join our community by signing up to our Toolbox Talks. You'll get sent a weekly notification, which is basically a highlight of everything that we've spoken about during that week, along with any other industry news that may be relevant or specific to the trades. If you're enjoying the show, you can head across to iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud where you can leave us a review. That would be fantastic, and all the reviews get read out in the show. Likewise, if you have any friends or colleagues that you think would benefit from the show and the episodes that we create, then please go ahead and share it with them. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Please, if you did, head across to iTunes and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. Anyway, if you are a project-based trade business and you work in solar or bathroom renovations or kitchen renovations or roofing or something along those lines, and you would like to see some of the results that we've been showcasing in our marketing on for your business, thousands of percent return on ad spend, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000,
13,000% return on ad spend, please head across to tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. That's tradie.wiki/pod for podcast. It will be well worth the conversation, and I can't wait to chat with you. Ciao.